purposely did that. How's everybody doing today? So good to see you. I know Ron's doing really well. It's just so good. You know what happens if you mix a fish and an elephant? You know what you get? Swimming trunks. I heard on the news the devil was arrested. They got him for possession. Okay, well, those are your two gag jokes for today. And we do mean that, I guess. They were terrible. Anyway, let's say hi to our online crowd. God bless you guys. Good to have you with us. We had a great service this last Wednesday. It was our first Wednesday service. And just a really great presence of the Lord here. And so if you can come to a first Wednesday, try to make those. Those are really good. We were, you know, it's just about an hour and a half service from 7 to 8:30. But really, I really don't care if the Lord's here, if it goes long, or, you know, or if the Lord's here and we're out short. You know what I'm saying? Just being here was, it's good to be with other believers and sharing and corporate worship and fellowship in the Word. And so that's good. I want to talk to you this morning on something about assignment. Stay on your assignment. We live in a time right now where I think sometimes we just, there's so much out there that we get itchy. Gotta move, gotta go, gotta do this, gotta be over here. How many have favorite restaurants you like? Kim and I have favorite restaurants. If you go to the restaurant of you like, do you get like usually something that's the same because you've been there and you know what's on the menu, you know? I have like a certain restaurant we go to, there's like three items that I choose from. And if I sway off of those, and even on those three, don't you compare like, oh, I should have got this one. And every time you take a bite, you're like, I should have just got. But you know, you're adventuresome. So I think there's something to be said about some of that. But we live in a society where it's almost like, can we ever be content? Now, that doesn't mean you don't want more or you don't want, you know, the blessings of the Lord. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just being at peace with whose you are and where you are and who you are. Okay? So I want to talk about staying on your assignment. How many knows that we all have a job to do? We're in the army of the body of Christ. I mean, we are the army of the Lord. So, you know, I know PK will say stuff like, you know, play church is over and, you know, we're just not here to be a social club and all of that. We want to do some things for God, for the kingdom of God. We want to learn about the kingdom. We want to stay on assignment. If you're good at something or you find out, I just like this, isn't it nice to find something that you're in the groove with? If you're an athlete and you find out you have some ability and you play a sport and you're like, oh, I like that. I just feel like I feel comfortable in that. Doesn't mean you can't be stretched in that sport, because sometimes you'll have a coach that, if he's a good coach, will stretch you. I get it. But to be on assignment, we all have different ideas and desires and wants, and I want this, I want to see that. Some are fueled by our own selfishness. Some are fueled by others that want the best for you. I love my mother. Hopefully she's watching right now. My mother would tell me all kinds of things. In a good way. Not bad things, but just, you know, she would just tell me, I don't even know if they would, you know, if I told her, Mom, I want to play the ukulele. You're going to be the best ukulele player in the whole world. I love that. I've never played the ukulele. I really, you know what I'm saying? She was just always very, very supportive. Now, my wife, I watched our children grow up, and she every night would scratch their back and say Psalm 92:12-15 to them. And then she would say, you're going to do great things for God. When you grow up, don't miss it. She would tell them that every night. And if she couldn't be there for, she was at a meeting or say she was at a conference or something and I scratched their back, I can read Psalm 92:12-15. I can tell you what it is now because all these years, I have it memorized. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. It shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He's my rock and my salvation. There's, you know, I mean, just that's it. It's, and then she would say that. I would scratch her back, and it would be Mal or Zach or Sam or Maddie. You don't scratch her back like Mommy. How does mom scratch your back? You don't sound like mom, because I'm not mommy. But we all have different things that we want to do. And there's no secret, we all have an enemy. And we know who he is. And we know he's against us. If you're for God, he's against that. You're made in God's image, he's against that. The things you do that are of God, he's against that. So when you're on assignment, he's against that. I want to talk about somebody that probably is one of the most messed up people that Jesus ever comes across. He's possessed by demons. Matter of fact, he houses many of them. He's got issues. He's naked. He cuts himself. He lives in the cemetery. He screams. He's wild. He hides in caves. They've captured him different times. They've put him in chains. He breaks them. Nobody can control him. If you have your Bible, look at Mark 5, 1 through 20. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to talk about our assignment. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. When he had come out of the boat, now, when they're saying he, they're talking about Jesus. Jesus is getting out of the boat. Immediately, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. They had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, the shackles broken into pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." Then he asked him, "What's your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There's about 2,000 of them. The herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea, drowned into the sea. Those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus, saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told him how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. They began to plead with him, they're telling Jesus now, to depart from their region. And when he had got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him. He said to him, "Go home to your friends, tell them what great things the Lord has done for you, and how he has compassion on you." And he departed to proclaim in Decapolis and all Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Now, the NLT says that last part like this. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told him. I want to talk about what Jesus told him. Now, Jesus tells him to go home, but there's a reason why he's telling him to go home. Now, we just read right here, this guy's going to go tell everybody, and it says he's going to visit 10 towns. He's going to the apocalypse. You know what I'm saying. Those 10 places. That's what he's doing. I have a college graduate. I crammed 4 years of college into 5. That's what I've done. Anyway, so he's going to go, and he's going to tell the great things the Lord has done. And Jesus, now listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Jesus is about to travel these places. He's sending this guy out on an assignment. Now, we don't always read it like that. It's amazing to me that when Jesus shows up, the devil comes to the Lord and says, "Hey, I know who you are." And it says all of them begged him, "Don't send us out of the country." Do you know why the devil doesn't want to go somewhere else? Is because he knows what is familiar. He's staking his claim. Why did Jesus tell him to go home? Why did he say, go do this, go home and tell people what the Lord has done? Work your field. Because he had an assignment. Do you know that you have influence where you live? Yes, where you live. It's interesting to me that Jesus sets him free And one of the primary purposes was to send him ahead. Now, he's not explaining everything to the guy. Can I just say to you that God may not tell you everything on his mind? He may just tell you, would you please do this, instead of telling you why? I grew up with this. Did you ever grow up with this? My mom's famous line. Why do I have to do that? Because, hello, I would never understand all of that. Because I said, Mom, why can't I climb the tree? Because I said so. I love to climb trees. I think I was part monkey sometimes. I just love to be up high and climb trees and all of that. And I've fallen a couple times and then realized probably not a good idea that I climbed this tree. But she tried to tell me, but you have an assignment, you have influence. You have a place to work. Some people are, we want to be like, you know, I want to be in the forefront. I want everybody to see what I'm doing. I get that to an extent. Everybody wants to be the star quarterback. But do you know that that quarterback can't do anything if he doesn't have blockers? That running back doesn't make those yards unless there's people that are pushing people away. We have to understand that together in the kingdom, we all have a place. We all have an assignment. Work your assignment and stay on it. I've had people that I have seen that God set free here in this place and gave them instruction. Work your assignment. Stay. Plug in. And they choose something else. What happens when we work where we have influence? Isn't home a great place? I love going home. And my wife knows this. Every time I pull up to my house, I have never regretted pulling in my house. I love my house. I wherever the Lord puts me, you know, home is where you hang your hat, right? So that's good. You could be, you know, I'm talking to guys. If you're a hunter like me, or you like to be out in the outdoors, I've been camping many, 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 many times. I was an Eagle Scout. So sometimes being outside, I just did things to make it really cool. Because before, I didn't do that. When I first started doing that, going into Boy Scouts, I just was kind of watching other people, trying to figure out how to survive. Found out the ground was cold. It's good to kind of get off the ground. Found out how to stay warm, how to build a fire. I started learning how to lash stuff, and so I would get sticks and bark, and I'd lash a table beside my, and people would be like, dude. I'd be like, that's right. But you know what? This is what I was doing. I was investing in where I was at. If I'm going to be here, God, I want to work it. If you got to be someplace, don't you want to make it worthwhile? I don't like wasting time, do you? Have you ever had a salesman come and waste your time and you waste his? My dad used to do these things all the time. If you called this place, Dad, I know you're probably watching. And they would say, hey, we'll come and tell you, as long as you let us tell you about this thing, we'll give you a free TV or a knife set or something. And we're like, because we went over to his house and he had this little black and white TV and he goes, great. Because one time we were at a camp, we were camping out, and he pulled an extension cord, put that little black and white TV out there, and we're like, oh, that's kind of cool. Not that you should be watching TV while you're camping, getting away from the world, but you know. So I would just tell people, he gave me the number, call this. If you call this, you could, you know, you might win a cruise or a 3-4 day, 5-night, you know, whatever. I would just tell them right up front, just so you know, I don't care about anything you're selling. I'm calling this because you're offering this, and that's all I want. Now, I don't do that now. I could care less about that now, but back in the day, I just thought, hey, that's you know. So the guy that was supposed to bring one of those little black and white TVs, I told him on the phone, I said, don't you come with a knife set. This is true. Kim and I were just married. We lived in a 12-by-60 trailer. The dude shows up, and I said, remember our conversation? He said, yeah. And I said, okay. I said, I didn't see you bring anything. He said, I don't have that. I have a knife set. I was going to use it on him. But I did not. I've grown up a lot since then. But isn't home the place you like to be? Isn't home where the real you exists? Where you can get up in the morning And it doesn't matter if your family sees you with your hair looking like Phyllis Diller. You know, where you can wear stuff to bed like, you know, shorts and a t-shirt, and you're not at Walmart. And get away with it. People see the real you. You know, in the morning you say hi to each other. You're not, you know, you don't have any, you don't have your, ladies, you don't have your face on, any of that stuff. It's where you live day to day. It's where the real you, it's where you do life. It's where you can be you. It's where your children, your spouse sees you when you're not always the way you are at church or wherever. They see you get mad. They see you lose it. You see them lose it. You help each other. You say, we're sorry. I don't know what you could do in your house. We try to keep strife out of ours. Our first thought this morning is you are anointed. You are anointed. But that anointing has to be activated by you because you have authority. You have influence. But if you don't want to use it, nothing seems to happen. If you're a believer, faith is voice activated. You have the measure of faith. God gave it to you. Wherever we've lived, we've had neighbors. If I didn't tell them about Jesus, I don't know if anybody was going to tell them about Jesus, but I made up my mind that I was. And so I tried whatever the Lord told me. And I did it by ways that were probably not as conventional. I didn't just walk over and read them the Roman road and tell them, if you don't find Jesus, you're going to burn in hell. I mean, is that true? There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. Yes, I get it. But you know what? People want to see people that have compassion or that have influence and there is fruit from their assignment. Now, he doesn't know. But see, inside me is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's not sitting there saying, don't tell anybody. I'm a secret. If he's going to tell a demon-possessed man, free him and say, go out and tell everybody what I've done. Going to tell you to share it. So I would do, God, what do you want me to do? So every time my one neighbor, we'd cook out on the grill, I'd make him a burger. He's married, so I'd make two of them. And I'd go over there and I said, hey, Doug, I was just out there cooking. He goes, I smelled it. After a few times, he's like, oh man, I was so glad you were cooking today. But you know, I just give that burger to him. Why? I just wanted to. I'm not trying to manipulate anything. I just wanted to be on assignment. I'd see him shovel his walk, and the Lord would speak to my heart and say, go help him. Give him 20 minutes. And I would go, and I would, you know, and he, now, you got to understand, he didn't like anybody talking about God. So me going up to him and saying, hey, let's talk about God, he's going to automatically shut the door and knock me out. Not physically, but you know what I'm saying. So I'd come over and he'd go, hey, you don't have to help me shovel. And I said, I know that. I said, I've only got 20 minutes and then I got to go. And I'd never say anything else to him. I'd just shovel for 20 minutes and then I'd leave. I'd say, later. And you got to understand, I'm on assignment. So that stuff starts seeping through. Burgers, help, raking leaves. I would do the same thing. If the Lord told me, it's not a good time, don't go over, I just, you know, I wouldn't. I'd wave at him, always talk to him. But faith is voice activated. And faith without works is dead. So if God's telling you to do something and you don't want to do it, he's not changing his mind. It just, nothing happens because you don't do your assignment. Isn't it sometimes just easier to go away? I mean, you love your family and friends, but just to go somewhere more exciting than where you are, someplace more exciting than where you live, something to do more. And I get it. We've gotten summer passes at Cedar Point just because it's not that far and we can get away and just have fun and eat fried food. And just, you know, and I'm still, and my wife will tell you, I'll still witness to people standing in line. I'll hand people, I don't know where, but I'll hand them a church card. I don't know if they're anywhere close to this church, but, you know, we'll find out. I mean, is there some place that you think I would love to be? How about Disney World? And I'm not saying you love everything Disney does, but I'm just saying, as a whole, my kids grew up with Disney. And it's the one, you know, the castle and all that. Have you ever just thought about being somewhere? Maybe you have a favorite vacation spot. Maybe you have a boat and you love to be out on the lake. Maybe you're a hunter, like to be in the woods. Maybe you're a lady and love to be in the super shopping mall. Sometimes you just need your space. Sometimes it feels like life is just like, ah. My boys used to say, he's breathing on me. Well, breathe back. Don't hold your breath. You ever run into somebody at the store? You know them because you know their face, but you don't know who they are, but they know you. And they're talking to you, and the whole time they're talking, you're like, I wish they'd say something so I'd know who they are. I get that. It gets awkward if you want to. Some of us just want to check out. In other words, we could still be there. They're talking to you, but you're not there. Kind of like the Maytag repairman. Just looking away. Part of being in an American, living in America, means somewhere, you know, there's this, boy, I want to travel. I want to do something. Or maybe both. Maybe make life a grand adventure. One thing I have really appreciated about my parents, they had a motor coach and they went all over the United States doing different things. They went on a cattle drive and, you know, rode horses on a real cattle drive. We're out in the wherever, somewhere, Montana, Dakota, somewhere. And they've, you know, just done some incredible things. Worked at Disney for several years, 5-6 years or so. Worked at Dollywood. Great stories. I won't share all of those with you, but we've laughed every time they tell them. I'll tell you one. My mom worked a ride that is water, and you have to help people get on the boat. It's one of those that says, you will get wet. You know, like Cedar Point has that, you can sit in a circle, and all the, you know, the bounces around and the water. My mom, they're letting people in and out, and you straddle the boat and the dock. Well, you have to know when to take your foot off the boat. Many, like 5 times, my mom's doing the splits and everybody's watching her, and then kapoosh, she just falls in the water and she's just drenched. And finally they said, we need to move her. You think? We live in a world that just promotes and feeds the emotions. Everything, if it feels good, do it. And all of these. And you don't have to settle for that. You can have this. Social media has created a utopia of places. And people make big bucks just so people can dream about vacation somewhere else besides where they're at. Nothing wrong with wanting to go on vacation or go somewhere. I'm just saying perspective. There's emotionalism that sells so many things, houses, cars, big items. The right date. Everybody has to look like Barbie and Ken. If you look around, there's not a whole lot of people look like Barbie and Ken. I'm not saying it wouldn't be nice to look like Barbie and Ken, but you know what I mean. Some of it is just like, come on. We put stuff on our refrigerators. We put it on our vision boards, and this is what we're believing for. And I'm not against putting something you're believing for on a vision board or your refrigerator, so please understand. But your perspective must first be seek the kingdom first. Sometimes it's just, Calgon, take me away. I just want to be away. I'd come home from work before Kim was helping me co-pastor, come home, and you know, she was raising the kids while I was gone. And so when I'd come home, she would be like, I just want to talk to an adult. So she's just, you know, tired of, give me some juice. I want some juice. He's breathing my air. He's got my toy. You know, whatever. She just wanted somebody to talk to. I wonder if the enemy isn't behind some of this stuff, that he just puts it on your mind, poof, 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 to make you unbalanced and feel like you're emotionally depleted. I can't take anything else. If you will let him, the enemy will get your mind off, listen to me, the mission or your assignment. Now, I'm not here to tell you what your assignment is. You're going to find that out. You'll know. The enemy will tell you you need to get away or you'll explode. And there are times that I think you do. It's healthy to get away. But I think you need to temper that with God. What are you telling me? If I'm letting it get to this point, maybe I'm speaking from experience, maybe I'm focusing too much on the craziness and not on the peace. Maybe I'm focusing more on what the enemy's doing than what I can get when I focus on God. This guy was completely tormented. He's an animal. He's cutting himself. He's screaming. They can't hold him down. Jesus shows up, and he does what we would expect him to do. He sets him free. He gives the demons a one-way ticket to the pork factory.
That's all, folks.
I mean, and it's amazing to me that they're all like, okay, we don't want to leave, but send us to the pigs. Yeah, the pigs. Jesus says, go ahead. And then this guy, he gets free and he says, I want to go with you. Can you imagine? And we just kind of take this lightly, but for how long? I don't know how long, but now he's thinking in his right mind. And he's probably not happy with what has happened to him or what he's done, but now he's free and he knows who freed him. And he says, I want to go with you. Isn't that our human nature? And this is what we have to be sure of. When we follow something, you better know what fruit's there. Because everybody can talk good, mostly. Just remember, the whistle doesn't pull the train. It just makes noise. I went to school with people that were a lot of whistles. They were so big, they were so bad, they were so this, they were so that. And then when things started happening, there wasn't anything in that engine at all. It was just the whistle. Look at what you're looking for answers. We live in a world where there's plenty out there. This guy now says, I can choose. He's free. I mean, kingdom free, really free. All of a sudden, he's not shackled anymore. He already knows he's in his right mind. Wouldn't you say, what else can I do? Can I just come with you? Now, this gets kind of crazy to me. Because the people in the town, they already know. I mean, I can just see my mother. Brett, don't you go out to the gatherings. You can't play out there. There's the crazy man. She's going to keep me away from that. Even if you're an adult, you're not going out there because that dude lives out there. And he's nuts. He's wackadoo. But the one who just put him back on track again, back in his right mind, the town is upset. And they're telling Jesus, get out of here. What do you like more? So Jesus gets in the boat, and this guy runs over to him and basically is saying this. I want to go with you, whatever it takes. I'll carry your fish. I'll dust off your sandals. Can I be a disciple? I mean, I don't know what he's asking, but he's like, I want to come with you. Why? Because finally he has an answer. And it works. The answer works. I'm free. I want to do what you tell me to do. Give me something to do. Jesus doesn't tell him to go home because he doesn't care. Jesus knows what he's going to be doing. He's going to be traveling. And this guy, everybody knows this guy. So he's like saying, go tell everybody what the Lord has done for you. He has an important assignment. Jesus is telling him to work his field. We, just like this guy, we need fruit. You have an important job. The people in your neighborhood, maybe even those in your house, They're all looking for answers. Now they see this, people that reason, they're like, this dude's all right now. He's in his right mind. What if you're the answer God is sending? I mean, he is ultimately the answer, but he's using you to tell people about him. Well, God, I want you to let everybody know that you're sending me off. I want everybody to know what I'm supposed to do. Because sometimes our human nature is validation. We need to be validated. We need people to like us and appreciate us and see us as whatever God is seeing us. Wow, I'm important. See, I'm important. But Jesus doesn't send him off with, there's not a Jerusalem band that comes up. Go, 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 into, all the world, preach. Even there's no big, Jesus just says, go home. I got a job. This is what I want you to do. I can't tell you how many times, there have been times in my life where I know I've had an assignment and I didn't do it. I just didn't do it. I would love to say I did. I would love to tell you I've never missed an assignment. Survey says. I was walking out of Honda one time. I was going to go home. I just wanted to go home. I wanted to see my wife, see my kids. And on my way out, there was a guy that delivered parts to all of our stations. And he walked with a limp. And he pushed me. He's a nice guy. I talked to him. And I did stuff just like I told you. I didn't give him food or anything, but I was always kind to him. I was always, you know, wanting to know, is there anything I could pray about with you? And so we established this relationship. I'm walking out and he is standing there and we're going to pass in the hallway. Now there is a mob of Honda people walking out, and at Honda, when it's time to go home, people are just like kids at recess. Time to go! I mean, and so you're seeing everybody in white suits, steel-toed shoes, and we're all heading the same direction. We're like cattle. And this guy is like looking at me, staring at me. It's like he's looking through me. And inside, I feel like somebody's looking at me. And I look up, and him and I lock eyes. And I'm telling you, and I'm not proud of it, the Lord spoke to my spirit and said, you need to tell him about me today. And I was just like, I don't want to. I'm just being as honest as I can because everybody was around. It's kind of one thing when he's coming by and it's just me and him. And, you know, there's people working, but it's just kind of still me and him. And I'm like, Lord, I'm not comfortable. But yet that was my assignment. And I talked my way out of it. I said, I'll tell you what, Lord, I'll talk to him tomorrow. When he comes by tomorrow, that's what I'll do. I'll talk to him. I'll talk to him. And I walked right on by, and he stared at me. It was almost like his eyes were like Google eyes. I mean, they seemed huge. And he was looking at me, and his eyes were pleading with me, and I ignored it. I mean, I pushed it out of my head, just. And I came to work the next day. Some of you might be ahead of me. And somebody said, you hear what happened to so-and-so? Well, I didn't know his name. I just knew we had this relationship. I said, oh, who's that? He said, you know, the guy that delivers parts, that walks like this. I'm like, what? He said, he died last night. And I'm like, what? And I was not good for the rest of the day or a couple days after that. Because I was supposed to tell him. And I hope whenever I get to heaven that he's up there, that somebody stayed on assignment and didn't put it off like I did. You have an assignment. You have influence. This guy's begging, Jesus, please. And Jesus said, I need you to go home. I got something for you to do. Second thought, you have a job. This guy had an assignment. But it wasn't one he wanted to hear. I just want to be with you. Sometimes God wants you to do something just like me. I don't want to hear that, God. I don't want to do that job. I don't want to take so-and-so to church. I don't want to pick them up and do that. Give me anything, but, you know, I'll go to the mission field, something, but don't make me do that. But this guy gets validated to go, not to stay. It's not what he wanted. He wanted to stay with him, and he says, I want you to go because there's an assignment. God doesn't always tell you everything that you want to hear. There are people that are probably not as lovely as we think we are. Don't we do that? We judge people by their actions, and we want to judge ourselves by our intention. We judge people and we say, okay, how come they had this and all of that, blah, 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 blah. We don't know how much they gave. We don't know what their life is like. We have no idea. We just make judgments. See, everybody, it's just like, whoa, everybody wants to know who the star is. But really, there can be no star if there weren't people help along the way. Are you with me? Today's culture, somebody makes it big in show business, we hear, well, I was raised in a small town in whatever. And we all go, wow. I interviewed for a pastor job in a town called Steubenville. We went to look through the town. I can't remember if I interviewed there or not. We were going to look because that was coming up. Dean Martin. And it says on a building, it was painted, Home of Dean Martin. We were like, wow. Well, Dean Martin lived here. Everybody loves somebody sometime. This has got to be a cool place. You go to a class reunion. I haven't been to one in, I think I went to my 5-year reunion. I haven't been to one since. Because sometimes it's just like some people we just get older and wider. Other people, you know, you're like, oh, best, you know, you find out I was the class clown. But anyway, we don't really hear people go, wow, when you go to a class reunion and they say, yeah, I live right here where I've always lived. We don't go, wow, that's awesome. Nobody writes books on how they live within a 10-mile radius their entire life because pressure from outside is always like, you're not successful unless you go somewhere, do something. Places are always asking, how many places have you traveled or been? I think it changes our thinking if we understand that you are important where you are. You can live there your whole life. What a great influence. You know, I never really knew, and I know I've got family that are here from Findlay. I've only been to Findlay a few times in my life, more times now because Justin's parents and his grandfather are here today. And Findlay. Findlay's a really, I like Findlay. I mean, it's a nice town. And I mean, they have a great chocolate place in Findlay. Dietz's, I think. It is. And I mean, I think Jesus would eat their chocolate pretzels. My wife would say so. But you know, like, what am I saying? I'm saying this. That family has lived in that area all of their life. And if you go over to that area and I would mention their name, I could almost guarantee you anybody in Findlay would be like, oh, yeah, I know John Oman. Sure. I think that's success, my friends. Sometimes just having to be somewhere all the time. You know what? You be in ministry, like we've been in ministry. We've had people that, it must be so exciting. You just get to go every place. And you know what it's like to go to a new town, not know anybody, don't know where the store is, where the bank is, and your kids have left all their friends. Oh, joy. And you stay there, and then God moves you somewhere else. You know, they're like, that must be so exciting. We were like, how wonderful will it be to be somewhere and put some roots down? There's always two sides. Most of the people that are listening to me today, I can guarantee you, are not going to be called to Africa. He doesn't want you to move to a foreign land. Your assignment, your home, your friends, your neighbors, your influence is there. Most of us who I'm talking to, even online, are not going to leave pretty much this area for the rest of your life. I mean, I'm not saying you won't travel or go on vacation. I'm not against that, and I'm not saying that. But you're called, your assignment is to work your field here. Wasn't really my idea to come back here when we left Marion. I remember somebody had signs in their yard, last one out of Marion, turn out the lights. Anybody remember those? And just like, okay. People are like, you know what? If you go to Marion, you will get stopped by a train. Well, we're surrounded. Tracks everywhere. Yeah, I get it. But when we left, we went into ministry, and our idea wasn't really coming back. But honestly, this could be your final frontier. You could be boldly going right here. This is where you could live long and prosper. And there will be people that do go, that are called somewhere else. So please don't misunderstand. We left the familiar. That wasn't easy. We left and moved into ministry, and everything that we knew that was familiar was now gone. But we were being trained. And we weren't really understanding all that. We kind of knew it, but we really didn't understand. And in the beginning, I didn't think I'd ever be back here. But we were kind of doing the Karate Kid thing. Wax on, wax off. I'm doing all this stuff, and I'm not understanding, but yet God is yet training me for stuff I didn't even realize I was in training for. And he'll do some of those same things for you. But he sent us back here. Most of us will deal with Marion and Marion County, Bucyrus, Mansfield, Galleon. I'll probably miss some of them. Mount Gilead, Upper Sandusky, Delaware, Columbus, Waldo, Prospect, Green Camp, LaRue, New Bloomington, Richwood, Marengo, Findlay. But that's where we'll live most of our days out. That's where we'll have influence. That's our assignment. Who's going to win those people you went to school with if they don't know Jesus? Now, you can still visit and go places. I'm just saying, but do what you're supposed to do here. I think the enemy wants us to get unsettled and miss our calling. He wants you to always feel like you're missing out. I mean, you know, in the beginning, I thought, God, if you want me to have a beach ministry in Hawaii, I think that would be good. You know, some people will go into ministry and sell everything, and let's say they go to Uganda or they go Africa or somewhere, and everybody goes, wow. But you know what's happened to the people in Uganda? You say, I grew up here, and I'm winning people to Jesus right here. They go, wow. You see, we're always, and the enemy, I think, wants us to look on the other side of the fence. Look at the other side. Can I tell you, there's doggy landmines on the other side of the fence, just like your yard. Anytime we've ever been in ministry and gone somewhere, there's always a honeymoon period. You know what that means? That means that everything is great until you do something that's not to their liking, and then everything is not so good. Brett, what's your plans? My plans are just to do my assignment wherever he calls me. He's put me here. I have no plans to leave. But my plans are to work my field. There's other people that they spend their life, and I guess I've been guilty of some of that are singing that song. You know, I'm leaving on a jet plane. My bags are packed. I'm ready to go. Sometimes I put my wife through a lot of stuff because I knew we weren't going to stay in that particular place. And I knew God was going to move us. And I spent that time looking over the fence. If I could have some of that back, I think I would have invested more of my assignment. Does that make sense? We could write a lot. I mean, all of us sitting in this room, you could probably tell me more about Marion if we wrote a book. The years in Marion without a shopping mall. When I was a kid, you remember where the mall is? Remember when it didn't have a roof? We rode our bikes out there and had to tie them up just to lock them up inside the mall. How many drugstores does Marion need? I tell you what we need. We need another chapter 3 of Marion saying we need another Dollar General. There's about 50 million of them, it seems like. Between my Marion and my house, I think we passed 4. That's crazy. Anyway, they must be doing well, I guess. But if we have our eyes on the ends of the earth, the outermost places, God, what's my assignment? What do you want me to do? Let me just say, if you don't plug in where he wants you to plug in and you don't do your assignment, you're going to feel out of place wherever you go. If you don't win your neighbor, who does? If you don't tell him about Jesus, who will? I don't know if anybody told that gentleman at Honda about Jesus. I was supposed to, and I didn't. What becomes of those people that were on my assignment? That was my assignment for the day. I mean, yes, great, I made it to work, fine. But eternity was in that guy. What did I do with it? I just had to ask God, please forgive me. I won't do that to you again. My challenge to you this morning is to work your field. Work your assignment. Ask God creative ways to do that. If you're a baker, maybe it's just bake something. You don't have to tell them the gospel. Be the gospel. If it's just helping a guy out. I mean, I helped my one neighbor out. He didn't know the Lord, his wife did. But I helped him, and he was helping me. And he, to my knowledge, I don't know if he still is, but he found Jesus, because I'm sure I wasn't the only one witnessing to him. But I didn't push him in the corner. I didn't take this and say, here, take a bite. He was already seeing fruit and eating the fruit that God was telling me to be on assignment for. Philippians 1:5, being confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. My friends, we're all missionaries. You don't have to go to Africa. Jesus says, I've got something for you to do. That's what he tells this guy that he set free. You know why? Because everybody he talked to would go, you're the guy. You're the guy that was in the tombs. And he'd be like, yep. I'm sorry about that, but what happened? Funny you should ask. Who will tell your loved ones about Jesus if you don't? Well, Brett, they don't listen if I talk. Maybe you shouldn't talk about it. You should just show it. Sometimes it's harder to talk to family, isn't it? But let God, then you can pray. And let God send other people to start sowing seed and getting them ready. Sometimes it's easier to move away. Listen to me. Sometimes it's easier just to move. I don't have to do that. I don't want to have to deal with that. But it takes courage to stay and work your assignment. So many people you know, I can't get to, but you can. Jesus can tell you it's harder sometimes to be in your hometown. You know, this is my hometown. There's people that had told me when we went into ministry, and my wife can tell you, and we love them. We still love them to this day. We're still friends. But they don't see me as somebody they can receive from because they only knew me back then. Didn't Jesus have that? Isn't this Joseph, the carpenter's son? What good comes out of Nazareth? And so they go somewhere else, and that's okay. Because I just have to work my assignment. I can't force them. You know, if Jesus had that issue and he was God with skin on, Brett, you don't know all the things I've done in the past. I don't have to know. God does. Either the blood works or it doesn't. What's your assignment? I think it takes more courage, I said it before, to stay sometimes than just to go away. I think sometimes the anointing is greater because the courage is more. It's harder. You have more dependency on the Lord. I think the fields are ripe with harvest. I think they're having trouble finding workers. There's a lot of things I would probably sometimes like to do more for a minute. But if I'm missing my assignment, then I would be probably miserable after a while. But I want to challenge you today. Not what everybody thinks, what God is speaking to you. You and you alone. Not for what other people say or what other people might think or for, I'm taking this, you know, people pick jobs for money. I'm taking this job for the money. That won't last long. What's God telling you? You know, I can tell you for Kim and I, some of the most sound and solid times that I'm like, oh Lord, I love this, is when I'm working my assignment and fruit happens. I'm like, Lord. I remember preaching as just a guest minister, and a lady came up front and she was miserable. Just crying, weeping. She wouldn't even look at me. And the Lord told me, I remember him saying, he said, tell her to lift up her head. And I told that to her, and she shook her head no. And I said, look at me. She shook her head no. And he said to me, he said, tell her how much I love her. And so I did. She cried louder and harder. And there were, listen to me, there were people that were like, she needs to go to another room where they can minister to her. You know what? You need to be quiet. Because the enemy would love to disrupt that and take that away. But he said, lead her in a prayer of salvation. So I told her, I said, you don't have to look at me, but I want you to listen to what I'm telling you. God loves you. And you came, and she had come forward. I said, you came all this way. Do you want to go back the same? And she said, no. I said, okay. So pray this prayer with me. And you believe in your heart. Do you know the Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you're saved. So I led her in that prayer. And she just then let out, it was like a small little, oh. And she took her head and she picked it up and looked at me. And I'll never forget her face. It glowed. It was like one of those moments where you're like, oh my goodness. it was, you know, maybe it was one of those like of Moses and you know, their face, they came back and they were glowing. I don't know, but she was glowing. She was smiling. And she said, I have never felt this before. And inside, I knew that the Lord was saying, that's why you are on assignment. And I got to congratulate her, and people came up and hugged her, and she left that place a new lady. Before bound, then set free. My friends, today you're on assignment. I challenge you today as we close this service out to ask the Lord, what's my assignment? Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to show? And maybe it's baking something. Maybe it's just helping. Maybe it's just, hey, just want to encourage you. That's it. That's all. There's no hidden meaning. There's no double. Watch what happens. If you stay consistent on your assignment, God will trust you. And you will be a channel that He will use to bring those of your influence into the kingdom.